Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries with a special offer for you, our listeners. Thanks for joining us and for taking the next step with Father Vazquez. We appreciate your heartfelt encouragement for this ministry. Through your prayers and support, we've been able to introduce the next step to a worldwide audience, an audience made up of those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are searching for truths in ancient orthodoxy. As a way of saying thank you for your support, we'd like to send you a special DVD produced at this year's Armenian Genocide Commemoration at GCC. In this presentation, Father Vazquez speaks about the power of leveraging love against all evil. It's a lesson addressing a large problem, but with applications for everyday life. This DVD is our way of saying thank you to you, our listeners, and is available until the end of the month, May 31st, 2009. Just press on the donate button at our website at inhisshoes.org. Your donation, large or small, helps us continue this valuable programming, which is available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Of course, you can always drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Right now, whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
What a great offer. What a deal. Yeah, I like the way you use the piano. Oh, hey, welcome to the next step. Hey, this is Father Vazquez welcoming you back to The Next Step, a podcast dedicated to looking at life, inspecting the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. And I guess Susie's been looking through that lens too, because what an offer she's making! I hope you'll take her up on that. But you know what? The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission, and is brought to you exclusively by the good folks at the Apostles Net. Apostolic Evangelism for an expanding and electronic universe. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I hope you had a beautiful Mother's Day this past weekend and had a chance to honor mothers, and whether your mother's with us today or has gone away, it's important to remember the idea of motherhood. We're going to be talking about that because we have a very special mother that we celebrate, and all of us as part of this Armenian Orthodoxy that we talk about over here on The Next Step. It's a very special mother that touches us in a unique way. And I hope today in this podcast, we're going to give you a chance to really kind of experiment with that, to look at a different dimension of motherhood. And you know, what do they say about motherhood? I think AT&T has a statistic on it. I believe that Mother's Day is the day that most phone calls are made. I think AT&T racks up the most phone calls on Mother's Day. And I believe on Father's Day, they say that the most phone calls are made, but they happen to be collect calls. The most collect calls are made on Father's Day. Uh-huh. Now, what does that tell you about the supposedly changing roles of men and women? The supposedly changing roles of husbands and wives, of fathers and mothers? Well, maybe like everything else, what you see is not really what's going on over there. And of course, that's what The Next Step is all about. Kind of tingle our brain a little bit to think beyond the convention, to look outside of the box in what we call Armenian Orthodoxy. So hang in there. Today's going to be a great podcast. We've got some great stuff coming up for you. Actually, it is, I think, to me, it's a mind blower, because when I put this together, I didn't count on the flow being this smooth, but it flowed out. So we're going to share that with you in a few minutes. Of course, we have Ani, who's going to bring us some bubbles that'll take us up to some higher planes. But why don't we kick off today's podcast with a song? And this is in tribute of an event that's coming up in a couple weeks. Here's Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson. Thank you.
closing on a shanty town. Panama freighter wearing rusty brown. But she sails tomorrow and she's homeward bound. Head up on a lumpy sea. On a lumpy sea. I'm not the only lonely planet rider in this one horse town, I'm thinking. And I won't overrate or patronize you. I know we're different as chalk and cheese, as black hole winters and Saturdays. And I wouldn't like your mother much anyway, but it's not her I'm taking home with me. Not her I'm taking home with me. Don't intend to dress you in silver threads like some trophy in sublime seclusion. Won't try to educate or civilize you. Shanty town, Panama freighter wearing rusty brown. Well, she sails tomorrow and she's homeward bound. And you're bound to come home with me. Bound to come home with me. And you're bound to come home with me. On the Panama freighter with me.
Okay, now tell me, was that a cool song or what? That was called Panama Freighter, and it was by Jethro Tull's Ian Anderson on a solo album that he's done called The Secret Language of Birds. Yes, and I picked out that song because, first of all, so many of those riffs and the use of the mandolin and accordion, many similarities with the music that I grew up with, the Armenian music that I grew up with, as well as the Tullian influence, of course, of bringing Scotland into our lives. But even more important than that, I wanted to bring some parallels to the Armenian world, because why? On May 22nd, Jethro Tull is playing the Yerevan Opera House. I mean, you know, I was there in February. Is there a better venue? First of all, because it's on Armenian soil. Second of all, it's so small and cozy. And I mean, like, can you imagine listening to this band that's been around, that has just rocked the world for the last 40 years in so many unique manners and has just a slew of albums, and what a repertoire, and to be able to see that. I mean, this is a dream come true, and somebody want to make my dream come true. I mean, I could go for a couple tickets right now. Of course, the airfare, or at least some tickets. You got some frequent flyers hanging around the house. I mean, I could use them. I would love to be at this thing. But even more than that, I hope some people in Armenia really will take advantage of this very special show. And I say this because, you know, on the CD that I just played, Secret Language of Birds, there is a song in there called Circular Breathing. And it really makes you think that, you know, how connected we are through the arts, like from Scotland down to Armenia, and many of the themes that come up in these musics. You know that there has to be parallels. You know how many people have gone through these lands. And I've said many times on this podcast about the strategic location of Armenia and how so many different conquerors have been through that little passage of East and West. And you could see that influences are taken and given. And so much of what we talk about as our faith and who we are and our identity is not really this pure identity, so to speak, quote unquote, but is really an amalgam of many different traditions. And circular breathing, for instance. Now, that is a technique that is used by duduk players. Duduk, of course, that instrument that has been made popular in recent times, especially in world music, in ethnic music, by the famous Jivan Kasparyan, and later on by many, many other duduk players. We call it the Dziranapoh, the apricot flute. More articulately expressed. But of course, duduk is more accepted and people refer to it. But the idea of circular breathing is this. As you are breathing out into this flute, into this double-reeded instrument, you're also taking in. Now, what an incredible discipline this is, to be able to breathe in as you're breathing out. Now, it does sound like one of those things that I should say, don't try this at home, right? It sounds like you could really mess up a few things breathing in and out, but try it. I mean, how disciplined do you have to be able to breathe out and at the same time to be able to breathe in? The idea of circular breathing. Now, obviously, I have some personal interests here. I've got a great musical group, a great musical tradition, and a great country, a great history that is coming together, that is uniting for an evening of music, sure. But on a greater scale, it's an opportunity for us to really understand ourselves, not necessarily no longer as unique individuals defined by our geography, by our ethnic makeup, by our heritage, but as unique individuals that are functioning on multiple levels. Circular breathing, taking in and taking out all at the same time. Jethro Tull in Armenia. I mean, this whole idea that we are no longer just an Armenian, or we are no longer an African American, we are no longer, well, even the idea, think about that, what I just said, African American. You're no longer African, you are an African American. We in America have gone through this complete change, or let's say a redefinition of ourselves, just in the past 5 or 6 months since the election of Barack Obama. I mean, think about it, that Obama is not necessarily, he is equally black as he is white. His mother was white, his father was black. Is he African American? Definitely. His father came from Africa. Did he go through the civil rights struggles? Well, he didn't need to. His father came at a time when civil rights were already being defined here in America. So it's not necessarily he's part of the black culture, and there are so many dimensions to it. And it's something that we are starting to define here in America. Who is the American? What is that ethnic identity? And I remember a few years ago, I was at an event where they were recognizing the Armenian heritage and Armenian traditions. And it's interesting. I believe every ethnic community goes through this in America especially, because it is known as the melting pot. And there is this constant struggle, there is this constant rebellion to fight that assimilation process. And at this one gathering we had, a young girl was prompted up on a little step stool. I guess the stage was rather large. So they had put her on a step stool so that she could reach the microphone. That's how small she was. And she started rattling off this very, very dramatic poem about being Armenian and staying Armenian. And one sentence got to me. She said, "I've left my heart in the Armenian homeland." And I thought to myself, you know, this is interesting. Here is a young girl, she's probably 4 or 5 years old, and she's talking about leaving her heart there, and obviously she's been taught a poem. But you have to question these young children. I mean, if she was thrown into Armenia without all of the comforts that she enjoys in America, without having over 100, 200 different cable channels at her disposal, without having all of the luxuries that we just take for granted in the Western world. How Armenian, how much will these children want to be in that homeland? How much will they want to really relate with that third world country or any country that's outside of their comfort zone? And of course, I'm picking on this one particular case because it was right in front of me, but it gave me an opportunity to really think about how much is really said in pursuit of dreams, in pursuit of these romantic, virtual ideas that we have, and how much is really taken to heart. And certainly there is this struggle to maintain identity, to maintain who we are. Recently in the Glendale News Press, which is the local rag, so to speak, one of the columnists wrote that he had been approached by a student for a scholarship recommendation, and it was given by the AYF, the Armenian Youth Federation. And when he went on the AYF website to find out what was its purpose, what was its mission statement, in there it said specifically to fight against assimilation. And this gentleman, this columnist, was completely offended by the rebellion against something he took for granted, that somebody would fight assimilation or jumping into the melting pot. And I know last week we talked about identity, we quoted Thoreau, and talked about how important it is to maintain an individual identity. To be who we are, to be created in the image of God, means that we have the ability to create our own destiny and create our tomorrows. And certainly they are defined not only with our present, but with our past. But that past we're finding is not, let's say, homogeneous. It's not just one kind. That's why I have to beat this issue through to people. It's like we talk about orthodoxy, and everybody wants to run over and pick up some books from ancient times about the forefathers of the church. And yes, absolutely, the fathers of the church are there. They're beautiful. They are spirit-filled, and they touch us. But don't forget that we are a continuation of that tradition. And so equally on foot with everyone else, we have to be talking about what the church is today. And certainly the church has many different dimensions today that weren't defined back then, but certainly touch and influence us today in a very unique manner. A couple weeks ago, we were very fortunate, I have to say honored, in fact, to be able to attend an event in honor of Vahakan Setyan. Now, Vahakan was a young man who was taken at a very young age. He was killed in a tragic motor accident, and this case actually received some national attention because the person who had picked him up from a store and given him a ride was a famous actor. And during that ride in the car, Vahakan was killed in this tragic accident. And I have to tell you that this memorial gathering that took place, it was in honor of Vahakan, and at the same time was an opportunity to do some good. It recognized celebrities who are being responsible, who are responsible citizens. And I really applauded that, because from this tragedy, they were finding ways of reflecting goodness. In the face of evil, good was shining out. And this was an incredible opportunity, really, to make a statement by the parents, and they did. They touched many of us. I mean, there was an auditorium filled with people, and I know the reverberations will continue for a long time to come. But what's important about this is the love that the parents had for the child is now being reflected and radiated to others. Absolutely, parents love their children, but to be able to take such a tragedy and transform it into an opportunity to really touch the lives of others, speak to others, and really give a lesson for tomorrow is an act of creation. It's an act of creating the good. And in many senses, Vahakan's life was now being transformed. A young life now transformed and touching the lives of many others. And to me, this is really the idea of motherhood. This is what we celebrated last week at Mother's Day. Now, what I'd like to share with you is something that you probably won't hear anywhere else. In fact, it's kind of unique, and one day I want to share with you the evolution of the thought process, because equally as unique, I think it's important that I do share it. Today it would probably distract from our topic, but I promise we got to get to it, because it is really talking about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Today, I want to go into motherhood, but in a different dimension. Now, why is this unique, this dimension that I'm going to talk about? Because most of the times you talk about church-related issues as matters of, let's say, dogma, and not something that you actually wind up in your lives, but something that you read on the pages of books. And you try to make applications in your own lives, but you fail because they are really textbook, textbook examples that are given to us. For instance, the seven sacraments. Now, there are people who can rattle off the seven sacraments: baptism, chrismation, penance, holy communion, matrimony, holy orders, and unction. Sometimes they talk about unction and nobody even knows what that means. Oh, but they call it last rites and so on. Now, these are great because people will take some time to learn, and it's very important to have these traditions and to learn them. But how do you push them into your lives so that they start having meaning? And the challenge that I have for us today is this, that motherhood really pushes us to become the full self that we are destined to be. In other words, to be able to connect with that divine nature, and then our lives become immortal because we start touching the lives of other people. As I mentioned in Vahakan Setyan's case, what did the parents do? They were able to make that child whole even in his death, so that others were being touched by this life. And in the same way, a good parent, a good mother, will do exactly that. Will give you all the tools necessary so that your life becomes a full and complete life. One that, when we say procreation, to create a life form, but to create a life, to create a continuity, to create a life that will continue the love that they shared with one another and the love that that child now shares with others. So we talk about the sacraments. What are those sacraments? How do they play into our lives? Well, think about it for a moment. The church is the bride of Christ, the bride of love. And so as the bride of love, she is the love thing of Christ. She is that entity that Christ interacts with, and together they form their child, which is you and me. And so as children of the church and Christ, what is our life about? Well, the church gives us these steps, gives us a motion, puts us into motion. How? Well, first of all, there is baptism, the first sacrament. What is that? It's our birth. It's our spiritual birth into a new union, into a new family. And you know, it's interesting, in Armenians, we have an IAN at the end of our names, which implies that we are the son of, or the family of either a profession or a thing. And think about that for a moment. Like, for instance, my name is Movsesian, is my last name. I would be the family of Movses. There was somebody in my family who donned that name. Somebody else may be a popular name among Armenians would be Garabedian, the children, the family of Garabed. Sometimes it's by profession, Hatsakordzian, the family of the baker, Pajishkian, the family of the doctor, Derderian, the family of the priest. Now, think about it in terms of Christian, the family of Christ. That I-E-N, it's right in there, the family of Christ, Christian. We are now part of a family through baptism. And like all good mothers, what does the church do? It doesn't abandon you after birth, but takes care of you. And so the second sacrament that is given is called confirmation. What is that? Exactly what the word implies. Through chrismation, by putting the holy oil on a child, we say he is confirmed. In other words, you're okay. I love you so much that yes, you are part of me. I confirm your existence. I confirm that you are my child. And I give you that authority to go on and do all that you can do. And so in the tradition of the Holy Apostolic Church, the Holy Chrism is laid upon all of the senses of an individual to give that child the armament to go out and live the life that he intends to live in a beautiful way, touching people with holiness and touching people with love. The third sacrament, and don't hold me to these numbers because I don't want to put it in a hierarchy. I'm using these numbers just as reference. But the next sacrament, penance. Here is a mother exercising discipline, scolding us when we do wrong, and even administering punishment, because we know that that is part of the discipline process. You know, if you want your children to grow up, you do have to administer some discipline for them to grow up in a proper way, in a way that can function. I mean, that discipline is important. And yes, you do scold them when they do something wrong. And that's what penance is all about. The church saying that, hey, you went off course. I still love you, but because I love you so much, I need to put you back on course. And that's what penance is all about. Here is a way for you to make amends. And the next sacrament, Holy Communion. The Holy Eucharist. What is that? Reconciliation. Then yes, you did stray from the path. You did go away. But as a good mother, I love you so much. As a good parent, I care for you so much. And now I want you to be reconciled. Reconciled with God. And of course, that means reconciled with the family. To become part of that entire collective, that Christian family. And so the priest, if you hear the prayer of reconciliation and says, therefore, by the priestly authority committed to me, I reinstate you in the sacraments of the Holy Church. In other words, reinstate you into a life that has been created for you and ready for you, despite the difficulties, despite the things that you've gone through. As a good mother, the church then administers a sacrament called holy matrimony. Not for everybody, but certainly for the people for whom it is intended, for people who want to go through that stage in their life, who want to make a commitment to another person to now start a new family. The church, what does it do? It places crowns on the head, unique to all of Christendom. The Armenian Orthodox faith has the crowning ceremony because the individuals are not just husband and wife. They are king and queen. They have that freedom to create the new kingdom together, sharing that love, loving one another, sacrificing one another, and in all things ready to do good works for the kingdom. The kingdom that they create. Like all good mothers, this mother, the church, allows that kingdom to begin. Doesn't restrict it, but says, here it is. You now have all the rights and the responsibilities to be a good kingdom over there. Husband and wife, king and queen. Another sacrament is called holy orders. Just like holy matrimony, it is not for everyone, but holy orders ensures the continuity of the organization, of the family, recreating itself. The church says that now we are procreating with an emphasis on service. Serving others is important, and through holy orders, you receive that power to be able to serve others in a very unique way, through that institution, through that family of the church. And the final sacrament, Holy Unction. Probably a sacrament, if you think about it, given to us by the ultimate example of motherhood, Mother Mary, the Holy Virgin, who that even at the foot of the cross, even in the face of death, did not desert her son. And our church too does not desert us, but takes us all the way to the cross. Takes us, even looking up at her child. Mother Mary stood there as the beads of blood dripped on her face. She did not abandon her child, but stood there as a mother, looking at him, sometimes with sadness, but also knowing that there is a victory beyond this physical death. And the church, too, takes us all the way to the very end and sanctifies us with the extreme unction, with that final blessing to say that it doesn't end here. It will not end with this physical existence, but it will continue with a love, because beyond every crucifixion is that resurrection. And now think about it. What has the church done? It has prepared us. It has given us life. It has taken us through a lifetime, and then at the very end has sealed it, has sealed the deal for eternity. And now in our lives, we have the ability to do the same. The bride of Christ, the bride of love, is this place where these sacraments come alive, where the sacraments touch our lives, not something out of a textbook, but something that is actually applied in our lives, giving us the strength to do what we are required to do as human beings, as children of the living God. You know, when life gets tough, you got to remember these things. You're not just anybody. You're a child of God. You are Christian. You are part of love's family, Christ's family. I mean, we all are. Yes, we all are. But when you recognize that, you realize that you've been given the stamp. You've been born of the font. You've been given the stamp of confirmation. You've been given the ability to forgive. And because you have been forgiven through the penance, you've been reconciled through Holy Communion. You've been given an opportunity to create your life, whether it is through marriage or through holy orders, and you have not deserted all the way to the end. You've been given the seal, in fact, to go through your crucifixions knowing that a resurrection happens. That is the beauty of belonging to this family called the family of love. Christian. And I challenge you today to really look at your difficult moments. You'll find that power of love is really what shines. I could vouch for it in my own lives, and I know if you look deeply, what has carried you through? It's that motherly love. That motherly love that has been with you all along. And if you look deep enough, you'll see that love is what can carry you through your most difficult times. You know, I've always challenged you to really think of your faith, of your relationship, of what you may call religion, not as something that you learn from textbooks, but something that you really live out every single day of your life, in the relationships that you have, in the love that you spread to others, but also being a receptor to the love that others are giving to you. In fact, today, well, here she is. There's Ani with her spiritual bubbles. She takes us along that path, too. Listen up. It's a nice story.
Today's spiritual bubble is called A Very Special Meal by Mirabai Trin. Once there was a very poor and devoted woman who always prayed to the glory of God, asking very little, if anything, for herself. But one thought, one desire continued to recur, and finally she asked, petitioning the Lord, that if it were possible, she would love to prepare a special meal and have God share at her table. And God, in his love for the goodly woman, said he would indeed come the next day and share a meal. Filled with ecstasy, the woman went out the following morning with her meager purse and purchased delicacies that she felt the Lord would be pleased with. Returning home, she prepared a banquet and waited patiently for her most honored guest. Soon, there was a knock on the door, and when she opened it, there stood an old beggar asking for something to eat. Being a woman of God, she could not turn the beggar away, so she invited him in to partake of her table. The beggar felt as if he was in a dream, such a feast set before him. He finished all the food, thanked his hostess, and left. The woman was only slightly disheartened. She gathered up her purse, her coat, and hurried back to town to get more food for her special guest. Her funds were less now, so the food was not quite so elaborate. Nonetheless, she lovingly prepared another meal and sat to wait the arrival of the Almighty. A few hours went by, and there was a loud knock on the door. This time, it was an old gypsy woman with no teeth, who was deaf, who spoke quite loudly, and was rather rudely insisting that any true believer in the world would not deny her something to eat. Though the woman had no more money with which to buy more supplies, she invited the woman in and offered her a seat at the table. The gypsy ate everything, did not even thank the woman, and left without closing the door. By now, it was beginning to get dark, both inside and out. The woman's faith was strong, so that, though somewhat distraught, she did not give up, but rather looked around her humble house to see if there was anything she could sell in order to buy more food to set before the Lord. She hurried to town with the little silver cup that had been in her family for several generations, but she was willing to part with it for the great honor that God was going to bestow on her, the sharing of a meal. Late in the night, she rushed home to prepare yet a third meal. She waited and waited until once more there was a knock on the door. Holding her breath, she slowly opened the door to find yet another poor man in the guise of a wandering monk in search of a meal. Again, she offered hospitality with as much grace as she could muster in her disappointment. This man also ate all that was set on the table and left after blessing the woman for her kindness. So discouraged and dismayed she was that all she could do was nod slightly in acknowledgement of the thanks. Now it was too late. With no way to buy any more food and no more money with which to buy it, she got down on her knees, weeping such heartbroken tears. She asked God what she had done wrong. Why had God not come to share at the table as he had promised? And God, in all his divine compassion and mercy, lifted the woman off her knees and, holding her close to his heart, said, "My child, I enjoyed your hospitality so much that I came three times." This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Thank you, Ani. I love that story. It's so nice because so many times we wait for God, and what is God? God is around us in those relationships that we have, in the people that want to come and touch and need to be touched by us. You know, and what am I saying? You know, God is our Father, church as our mother. What is the happiness that God or our mother, our fathers enjoy? The other day I was talking to one of the mothers who, very close to me, she was telling me about her young daughter and how excited she was for Mother's Day to give the gift that she had prepared in school. You know, those little crafts that are prepared in school in third grade, fourth grade, sometimes handprints, sometimes little pictures, always having this little writing inscription on there, "Happy Mother's Day, I love you, you're the best." And as she was describing what her child had done for her, it reminded me that, you know, isn't that what it's all about? It's not the gift that you're getting, it's the excitement in your children's eyes, in your children's expressions. Well, don't you think it's the same thing for God? The excitement that he sees in our lives, in our expressions, in our ability to really take a hold of life and say, this is beautiful. And you know what? I'm going to make it the best that I can. I'm going to really shine. Even when there's sometimes that we can't shine, sometimes that are difficult, we shine the best that we can because he is a loving God and we are reflections of that love.
Holy
Well, we hope you have enjoyed today's show as much as we've enjoyed producing it for you. And what's that? Yes. Thank you, Ken. You know, we're in a different studio today. I don't know where this is going to lead. I should tell you a little bit about that, too. But Ken's on the side right now, and the smoke-colored glass doesn't prevent the carcinogens from entering our workspace right now. It's kind of a strange setup. But he did remind me this song that we just heard, just a little snippet of it, that was Holy Mother from Eric Clapton from an album he's done with Luciano Pavarotti. Yes, and friends may want to check that out. It's called Holy Mother. And we hope that, you know, this has been a holy time for you, that Mother's Day has brought in some holy thoughts for you to contemplate. And certainly on this podcast, that's our intention, to bring some spiritualness to what we take on as, you know, the regular life does such a number on us, like where we have to shop for Mother's Day, what we have to look for Mother's Day, what we have to get. You know, Mother's Day started off with all kinds of good intentions. Back in the 19th century, it was an opportunity for mothers to come together and speak out against the war and all kinds of evil things. And until today, when you think about Mad Mothers Against Drunk Driving, there's a coalition of love getting together, people getting together to do something against evils, whether it's war, drunk driving, or the many, many evils that take over our world. So when you get to a day like Mother's Day and they tell you, well, you've got to go shop at this place or that place, or how to fill up your iPod so your mom loves you even more, or basically that Hallmark card, you know, that you get to put your voice in. Those are all neat things. But don't forget, this all had some great intentions at the beginning about sticking up for love and fighting that evil. And that's the spirit we wanted to present today with this podcast, and a very special one about a very special mother, the one we call the Orthodox Church. Well, with that, we come to the end of this podcast, and I want to remind you that there's some great concerts coming up. Of course, we told you a few minutes ago about Jethro Tull being up in Yerevan, and a great opportunity to see him May 22nd, and I'm open. If anybody wants to send me, you want to come along, sure, let's do it. I just want to get there May 22nd. I'm open to possibilities, and in fact, I've got some time on my hand right now. Been given a wonderful opportunity. You know what? I'll tell you about it next week. Been given an opportunity to take some time to reflect and really build up all that we're doing. It's going to take the form of a sabbatical, but you know what? We're at the end of this podcast. I'll tell you about it next week. Certainly, it's up on my blogs and up on our website. But also want to remind you that one of our other talented individuals, Melina Kurdian, she'll be in concert this coming week, this on the 17th of May. And you know what? I'll ask Susie if she'll put it. Yes. Okay. She gives me the thumbs up. We'll have this up on our website as well. That's Melina Kurdian. Incredible music. And a very good friend of ours, William Archula, has just published a new book called The Art of Exile, and this is on Bilingual Press, a new release. you know what? If I can, I'll try to get in touch with him. Maybe in the next coming podcast, we'll have him doing a special reading from his book. Some great, great poetry. One that touches the very essence of our being. Well, that's about it. Most everything that we're doing over here is detailed on our website, inhisshoes.org. And of course, we always anxiously anticipate your comments and your questions, just about anything else you want to throw our way, at feedback@epostle.net. And have you seen the new Epostle site? It is just shining, epostle.net. And like I said, we're in new studios right now. We're looking for a little bit more permanent home. If you've got some ideas, you want to help out this ministry in many ways, we're ready to send you CDs, DVDs. And Susie just reminded me at the beginning of the show, we had a little intro about a special DVD that takes place at GCC. And it talks about leveraging love. And that DVD is available until the end of the month for any gift that you want to give to this ministry. Just go on our website, inhisshoes.org, press on the donate button. Well, for all the wonderful people who put this podcast together, for Susie, our producer, for Ani with her bubbles, Harach out in London, and Ken, who's, what is it? It's not even a booth today, is it? It's a step stool, but still doing his magic from that step stool. This is Father Voskin inviting you again next week, when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.